Hi, my name is Sarah and I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been in this program since February 25th, 2008. At the time I was 25 years old and I had been living in New York City for almost 3 years. I am from New Orleans and I went to college in New Orleans, so the first time I was away from home was when I graduated from college and moved to New York. And at that time, I didn't really realize that I had a food addiction, but I had always been obsessed with food. I guess I thought that was just like a character trait, or like a normal thing in my family. When I got clean, I was able to see some of the very strange things that my family did around food. And now I have some very particular food habits that others think are odd now, but they're the things that have saved me from the addiction. And for me, the hardest thing about compulsively overeating was that obsession, that staying in my head constantly, and my inability to experience what was around me. And sometimes that still happens with emotions or getting hung up on a particular problem or something like that. But it's temporary. And I remember at 25 thinking, this is my life. I'm going to spend my entire life just completely obsessed with food. I had recently lost a good bit of weight. I had recognized that the way that I was eating was not healthy because I was having some health problems already at that age, and I had gone to a doctor who had suggested some changes to my diet and exercise, and I had made those changes with a diet and calories club, and I was as obsessed with losing weight and keeping weight off as I had been with eating. So I actually got down to the very edge of what a healthy weight was, on the low end, actually. And that's when I came to OA, and I came to OA because I was petrified of gaining that weight back. I was overeating still, but I was overeating low calorie foods. So sometimes that was resulting in digestive issues. One time I actually had to call in sick to work because I had eaten too many sugar-free products. And I had gotten really depressed. Clinically so. For me, my depression and my compulsive overeating have always been buddies. My depression is not the cause of my compulsive overeating, and my compulsive overeating is not the cause of my depression, but sometimes they do overlap. So it was the depression actually that brought me to a therapist, and the therapist ended up recommending Overeaters Anonymous. I remember going to my first meeting and seeing the steps and the traditions up on the wall and being completely overwhelmed and crying. I cried through my whole first meeting, and I had a binge after that meeting, and then went to a meeting the next day, and things started to kind of fall into place for me. This program is incredible. How sometimes you can just learn things by osmosis. Like if you just keep coming back, some of it will get into your skull. And that happened to me. I had never been around people who understood what I was talking about around my food and recognized how painful it was. There were other people in my life who ate like I did, but not who were as disturbed by it as I was, or as willing to see it as a spiritual malady. And it was amazing to be around my family in a way. I really do feel like I came home when I came to OA. So I started to work the program. I went to meetings for a little while and then began to understand the steps a bit. It was a step study that I went to and eventually got myself a sponsor. And that initial relationship was so powerful for me, just to have somebody who cared that much. And not just about me as a person, but like about my food. People had always sort of looked at me funny when I would want to tell them what I had eaten. And it was so great to have someone who cared enough to engage with me about my feelings around my food. So I actually got abstinent pretty quickly. I have had many slips over the years, but I don't count any of them as relapses because I didn't ever give up hope again. And I never thought that I had power over food again. I recognize that I am powerless. And I also know that my disease can be extremely cruel to me, to the point where if I listened to the disease, I would question everything about my abstinence and my recovery. And I have learned that my higher power is such that it's much more easygoing and it recognizes the positive in everything that I do. And when I can be aligned with that power in my life as opposed to the disease, I am so much more productive and happy and valued by myself, and therefore really can take in the love of others. I don't think people love me more when I'm abstinent, but I can feel that love differently. So I'm really blessed to have come into the program early. I've been in now for almost 12 years, and I started out in New York and then I moved to New Orleans again. I came back home and the meetings were extremely different. And at first I felt really out of sorts and it took me a while to adjust. But ultimately, I think the thing that really made program work for me in New Orleans was the incredibly close-knit group of young women at the time who were in the program. There was an older woman. I have come to learn since that she was responsible for unity with diversity at the intergroup level, but at the time I just knew that she had suggested to a friend of mine to start a young person's meeting. And that meeting changed my life even more. You know, this program had always been important to me, but within that couple of years, it was tough to be in smaller meetings and with mostly older people. And when we started that young person's meeting, I suddenly had 10 friends around my age who had this disease and were dedicated to this solution. And it changed my life. I think back to that time and how important the traditions were for us as a small group of young people. And at the same time, we saw opportunity that I had not seen in other meetings. I remember specifically as a group, we started an email chain for people who were regular members of the meeting. And it was specifically something we did around the holidays where we could just send an email and then respond and give each other support. And having that group meeting, I feel like that was, you know, one of the first virtual meetings in a sense, almost like what happens now with WhatsApp meetings. So, you know, we would are able to share program language with each other that way. What else? So the steps have been incredibly important. In fact, now that I am a sponsor myself, I am a step sponsor. I focus specifically on moving my sponsees through the steps. And I oftentimes have to go back to the steps myself. I really love the wallet card, 12-stepping a problem, because there are so many problems in life. And this program gives us the ability to handle any of them. It makes it possible for us to identify where we're powerless, which is always the first step, to have hope again, believing that there is a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity, and then to make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to that higher power. And in my experience, doing that 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, I've heard it called a dance, doing that relieves me of a lot of pain. Sometimes I don't know what the thing is that I'm powerless over, and that's oftentimes where I get stuck. Sometimes I can't connect to a higher power, and that's where I get stuck. And sometimes I am just unwilling to believe that my higher power would have me do the things that my higher power wants me to do, and I get stuck there. I find that when I take step three, my willingness to do a spot check fourth step inventory is much easier, and I am able to turn that over to someone, and I've learned who's safe for that and who isn't. So I do that, and then I find that six and seven are incredibly powerful steps. They do have actions associated with them, so sometimes folks will tell you that they're not as action-oriented, but six, for six, that becoming entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, for me, that is an active process of thinking about which traits I have that are hurting me and others, and really think about whether I'm ready to let those go. What are they doing for me? Why am I holding on to them? And how do I get to a place where I'm ready to let go? So I actually think six is my favorite step because it's the most challenging for me. There are character defects that I really want to hold on to, and there are new ones that pop up all the time. And there are old ones that keep popping up. And it's very frustrating, but that's exactly what we talk about in terms of humility in this program, recognizing that they will come back. And the way to get rid of them is not to power through them or try to change them, but to recognize how powerless I am over them, and then take a step seven and humbly ask God to remove it. And then wait, because God's timeline is never my timeline. It's very frustrating. And I will say that about this program. I have been relieved of the desire to compulsively overeat, which is a miracle. I did not see that as possible in my 20s, my early 20s. And when that started happening in my life, where I just had this gift of recoiling from it like as from a hot flame. I mean, it just makes me want to cry thinking about how beautiful that was. But in this program, when you remove that as an option, you do have to face your fears and your pain in an entirely different way. And sometimes that can be excruciating. What is beautiful is that I always still have my support system to help me with that. And it's entirely what gets me through. I have a sponsor now. I've been through many different sponsors. But the one I have now is one who was actually in my home meeting when I lived in New York. And we've kept in touch, and we have a I don't talk to her every day. I don't talk to her every week. It's oftentimes like every 6 weeks or so. But she's there, and I know she's there. And she has this incredible power to challenge me on exactly the right things so that I open up and relax and let go and let a higher power in. So that tool, I cannot say enough about. Sponsorship. Meetings. I have gone to meetings even when I really don't want to be there. In fact, sometimes I think that's even more important because being in the habit of going to meetings is essential. I use the telephone a lot. And the beauty for me of the telephone tool is that I call my friends. This program has given me some of the best friends I can count in my life. And I had my bachelorette party about a year ago, and we were on the beach in the winter, and it was so cool to see how many of my closest friends came to me through this program. Just to recognize how deeply spiritual my friends are, and that the people I love the most in my life are the ones that remind me of my higher power and show me the signs that that exists. So, back to the steps. 8, literally, you just make a list and then you have to become willing. So that sometimes is the longest part. I've found if you're really willing, then actually making the amends not as difficult. And I've also found for me that living amends is oftentimes what the answer is. And I don't want that to be the case. I want there to be one thing I can do and just move on. But instead, it's usually me thinking deeply about my behavior on a daily basis to ensure that I'm not harming people in the same way that I was. And I get harmed too in the process of harming others. And sometimes I don't know what the harm is. And my higher power has shown me that that's okay. And that I should sit with that and wait for it to be revealed. Recently, I had to lay off an employee, and it was incredibly painful for her. And it was really difficult for me to sit with the fact that I had to do that in order for the business to continue to exist, and also recognize that the real disservice I had done her all these years that she had worked for me was coddling her and not being honest with her about what it's like to work for a business. I had done everything I could to shield her, and suddenly we were faced with this reality that I couldn't protect her from. There just wasn't the money to pay her. So that was really rough. And there were parts that I had to recognize that were my parts, specifically that I had not been truly engaged with the business and therefore not been paying attention to the financials enough. And we were in a place where I was faced with this tough decision and there really wasn't any other option. And I wanted to believe there was. And I spent so much time trying to believe that. So what does that amend look like? It really has looked like being there for her through that pain and sticking to my guns about what I needed to do and not being mean to myself about it, being able to move on. So 10, I do take, I'm a fan of the spot check inventory. Just, why do I feel so shitty right now? Excuse my language. Why do I feel like crap? And then that is always a key for me of what I'm forgetting I'm powerless over, what I have done to hurt others, what I need to turn over to a higher power, and what character defects I'm still carrying, and what I need to humbly ask to be removed, and then what amends I need to make. And basically, step 10 is just 1 through 9, over and over. 11 has been really cool for me. There's been stuff I've done to connect with a higher power that I never expected. And that has to constantly change, I've found, because I will find myself quite distant from my higher power, even if I'm doing the same things day after day after day, because sometimes the thing I need to do is not the thing I needed to do yesterday. And that dedication to staying connected and finding the way to connect is what step 11 is all about for me. And then 12, I have carried this message in so many different ways. Service is extremely, extremely important, but knowing which kind of service works for you is also important. And I have done a variety of different kinds of service. I would say for me, my favorite is sponsorship. I love to be present with someone as they go through this journey because it feeds my program like nothing else. And sometimes I've had to take on leadership roles in service because that's a talent that higher power has given me, and I have to recognize the value of that. But other times I feel like higher power has shown me that my ego is in the way and I want to be a leader for that reason, and I need to deal with that too. So I will say again, the beauty of connecting with other young people when you're a young person in the program. Now I consider myself an old person in the program. I am, out of the 18 to 30 range, and I'm just grateful to give back to young people in the program any way I can, specifically by encouraging them to create spaces with each other and not trying to force myself into that space, actually. So I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story, and I wish you love and happiness, fellowship, and abstinence.